If you don't have your Bibles with you, the scriptures will be up above my head on the Skyble. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. Guys, we've just been hanging in Mark. Like, I cannot get out of this passage of scripture. It's just like exploding in my heart. And there's some things here this morning that I want to be able to pull out to you. There have been times in my life when I've experienced some very, very, very dry, desolate times. Anybody ever been there? If you're new at Genesis, we are an interactive church. I just want you to know. So I'm gonna pull on you this morning. I love it when the church hollers at me. I'm gonna tell you guys the rule again. We got a rule. If three people clap, everybody's got to clap. Pastor Mark, you're going to steal that rule, huh? Pastor Mark LeJean in the house. There are times, I believe, in this walk with God as we're progressing where you come to times and seasons and rhythms. And there are rhythms that are difficult at times to go through. Desolate times, dry times. Frustrating times where you feel like you're pushing, 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 pushing. You feel like you're praying. You feel like you're crying out. You feel like you're hollering. And yet it seems as if the sky is just like covered over. It seems as if your prayers are falling on empty ears. It seems as if God is not even stinking there. Anybody with me? There are times when you're just so desperate and you just desperately want to feel God. You want to hear Him speak to you. It's like you're wandering through this desert, this dry place, and you're just begging for a drink of water. Desolate times, dry times. Thankfully, you and I are not the only people to have ever experienced this in Scripture. Anybody ever experienced a time like this in their life? Maybe it's not spiritually. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe relationally you've felt a desolate and dry season. You're giving, 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 and pouring your heart into this relationship. Then we come in and we sing songs like, "It is well with my soul." And you're trying to sing this song, "It is well," but you feel the dryness. You feel parched. You just feel like spiritually, God, I just need a drink of water. I want to encourage you, Genesis Church, to press into the Holy Spirit in these times. God is faithful. If you walk with God for any particular length of time, you're going to experience a season like this. But what I hope this morning is that if you're in this place here, and maybe you're in the middle of a desolate time, maybe you've just come through one, but I can nearly promise that at some point there is a desolate time coming up. And I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit reaches in and you allow God to reach into the desolate place. God is a faithful God. Scripture tells us this, that when you're planted in the house of God, that you will flourish as a tree planted by the waters. When you're planted in the house of God, you will flourish. The church that I see is a church full of people who are flourishing in the things of God. A church full of people who know what it is when God speaks. A church full of people who are so on mission and who love people so much that when you come into contact with suffering, when you come into contact with other people who are experiencing dryness and desolation, that the Spirit of God just explodes from the inside of you. The church that I see is a life-giving place full of people who are passionately pursuing the Spirit of God. There's a story in Mark chapter 5 when they came to the other side, and we're not going to read all of it because it would be laboring the point. We've read through this scripture over and over and over for the last 4 or 5 weeks. But it says they came to the other side of the sea, this country of the Gerasenes. Verse 2, when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He'd often been bound with shackles, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus, I love this scripture. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. How often do we do that? Scripture tells us this, that we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. I wonder when was the last time Jesus started speaking and you sprinted to his feet and just fell at his feet in adoration. This Jesus that we know, this Jesus that we worship, is not some distant deity, not some guy that you connect with intellectually. This Jesus is a person. And this Jesus is intimately involved with your comings and your goings. It says this demon-possessed guy, he sees Jesus and he runs and he falls at his feet. This guy desperately needing a drink of water, needing a touch from the Savior, needing a touch from the King of the universe. He sprints and he falls at his feet, crying out with a loud voice. He said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, God, do not torment me." You know how many people approach God? Like verse 7. They feel Jesus. They see him. They know him. They start to experience his goodness. They hear his voice and they run and fall at his feet and they ask, "Please don't torment me." They ask, "Please don't point out everything that's wrong with me." They're asking, "Jesus, I know stuff is screwed up right now. Have you come to torture me?" Is this not how a lot of the world sees Jesus, sees God, sees Christians even? Hello. "Son of the Most High God, I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Verse 8. For Jesus was saying, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, he says this. He says, "What is your name?" This guy was so far from who he had been created to be. God didn't create this guy like this. He didn't create him to be tormented by demons. He didn't create him to be cutting himself and howling and wailing through the tombs. Jesus is trying to reconnect. He's trying to plug this guy back into his humanity. He's trying to plug this guy back into who he was created to be. And he asked him a simple question, "What is your name?" And he replies, "My name is Legion, for we are many." This is a desolate, dark place that this guy is in. He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Verse 11. Great herd of pigs feeding there on the hillside. We know this part is famous. Jesus casts the demons into the pigs and they take off. And the guy asks Jesus, he says, "Can I go with you? Can I leave with you?" Jesus says, "No, man, you got to stay here." Fast forward to chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your spirit. Know that you're here. Chapter 8 says this, "In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples and he said, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they'll faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away.'" These are people who at this point are needing provision. The disciples, they asked this question. His disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directs the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. They had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. There were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. Genesis Church, I want to tell you this morning. That God is into putting provision into desolate places. God is absolutely into putting provision in desolate places. All you note takers are going to be happy. I want to pull 3 truths out of Mark chapter 8. This is the first one. Long before you verbalize it, Jesus feels what you need. Long before you verbalize the desolation, long before you verbalize what it is that you need, look at this. Jesus feels what you need. He doesn't just know what you need. Scripture doesn't say this. It does not say that I have perceived that the crowd is hungry. What does Jesus say? I have compassion on the crowd. This is massive. This is massive. Because here we are in our 21st century, empirical, show it to me on paper society. This place where we don't create space for mystery. We don't create space for wonder. Jesus, he could have said this. He could have said, I know that they need food. He could have said, it has been brought to my attention that the people are hungry. But they've been walking with him for 3 days. And he says, I have compassion on these people because they've been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. Long before you verbalize it, they hadn't said a word about being hungry. They had not said a word. But Jesus just felt it. I don't know what you came in here needing this morning. I don't know what it is. Let me tell you this. Long before you could even start to think to figure out what it was, long before you could verbalize that, there's just something that was just a little misaligned in your heart. You just felt a little off. You just felt like things weren't quite right. Long before you could verbalize that, Jesus feels what you need. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. We're pretty good at loving him with our hearts, aren't we? We desire him. A lot of us aren't so good at loving him with our mind, learning about him. What about loving him with your soul? Like that part of you that the wellspring of life, it flows from your heart and your soul. There's hope that's an anchor for your soul. Some of you in here are just a little soul sick this morning. Long before you could verbalize it, Jesus feels what you need. He says, I have compassion because they've been with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. Do you hear the compassion of a Savior here? If I send them away, now they're going to faint. They're not even going to make it home, man. Long before you walked in this room, long before you knelt by your bed last night and prayed, Jesus felt what it was that you needed. praise God for that. Some of them have come from far away. Verse 4 says this, the disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? How can one feed these people with bread? He goes, Jesus, these people have been walking with you for 3 days. You're going to try and feed them with bread? How many of you guys have not eaten for 3 days before? Some of you in here have probably done a fast. The first thing you do when you get off that is not go, I really want a roll. If I could just have a roll, I would make it through the rest of the day. Somebody find me some bread. They're like, Jesus, you just said, it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. You just said that they've been walking with you for 3 days, and if we don't feed them, they're going to faint on their way home. How can we feed them with bread in this desolate place? The provision that they had at their fingertips in their mind was completely insufficient to meet the need of the people who were present at the time. Completely insufficient. They're going, Jesus, you're crazy. And Jesus is like, hold up. Long before they knew what they needed, I felt their need. Long before they could verbalize it, I felt it. And then Jesus, he breaks bread, he prays over. And here's the second thing, is that Jesus makes the insufficient abundant. Yeah. He makes the insufficient thing abundant in your life. Is this not what Scripture tells us? The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But he says, but I have come to give you life. And I have come to give you life abundantly. So here's the thing. You walked in and you got this guy up here yelling at you, going, long before you knew what you needed, Jesus felt it. And you're looking around and you're logged into your bank account and you're sitting here thinking, I don't know how this is going to do this. And you're thinking through the desolate place, the dry place that you've been living in. And you're going, there's no way, man. But we see Jesus do this over and over and over. We see God do this throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. That God takes what seems to be insufficient and he makes it abundant. And not only did he meet the needs of the people, but there was plenty left over afterward. Here's the thing. If you walked in here this morning with insufficiency, you are primed for a miracle. Like, that's how God works. And it's frustrating and at times terrifying because you got the weight of your family on your shoulders. You got the weight of your company on your shoulders. But church, if you would allow God to reach into the desolate place, God is in the business of putting provision where it doesn't belong. He's in the business of bringing provision to desolate places. Jesus just had compassion on these people. He felt it. It was springing from the core of who he was. When he sees insufficiency and lack and suffering, he can't let it go. Some of you, you're in here this morning and you've been striving and striving and striving and striving. You've been hanging on to every rope you know how to hang on to. You've been trying to work out every possible scenario, every possible solution. You've driven yourself crazy. You've lost sleep at night praying through these things. It has not been well with your soul. You chuckle when you come in and we start singing, "It is well with my soul." You go, "Yeah, I wish." You're carrying the weight. Jesus is so good. He asks them, he just goes, how many loaves do we have, guys? And they go, 7. And he directs the crowd to sit on the ground. Some of you this morning are just like at the end of your rope. You're just like, forget it, man, I'm over it. I'm done. Just done. You're done praying. You've seen God move in so many ways. The thing about this miracle is that Jesus did it on the other side of the lake. They'd seen him do this miracle before. But it was hard for them to imagine Jesus being able to do it there. They're like, yeah, we've seen you do this before, but how can you do it in this desolate place? Some of you, there are parts of your lives, there are parts of your heart, there are parts of your minds that you've turned off. You believe that God can move in this area, but this place has been desolate for so long that you just kind of shut it off. And you get some guy up here talking to you about God brings provision into the desolate place. And you're going, okay, cool. Can I give you permission this morning, if you're at the end of your rope, to just let go? To just let go and free fall into the arms of the Savior? This is what the gospel tells us, friends. You could strive your entire life and never find peace, never find happiness, never find provision. Jesus instructs them to sit down. Here's the third thing. Sometimes you just need to get out of the way. He goes, sit down and let me handle this. How often do we see in Scripture people sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving a miracle? When we finally slow down, when we finally pause to ponder and wonder, when we finally stop trying to be the solution person all the time and we just sit, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, and you just sit in the presence of God. When was the last time you did that? Well, yeah, Pastor, but sitting down never got anything for anybody. Listen, the peace that you need in your heart, you can't find it from a bigger paycheck. And the peace that you need in your heart is not going to come from a promotion. It's not going to come from some guy or some girl. The peace that you need in your heart comes from sitting at the feet of the Savior of the universe who came and gave everything for you. And that's not to say that God doesn't instruct you. It's not to say that we just sit back and wait for a miracle. We don't do anything. I'm just asking you to slow down. Maybe the problem is that you're just striving, 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 striving. And you're not pausing to listen. Maybe God is trying to give you a slight course correction that would save you years, that would save you tears. But you're just go, go, go all the time so much because you're in this desolate place and you're trying to be the one who brings rivers of living water into the desert as God says he's going to do in Isaiah. And you're trying to create water out of thin air and God's going, just get out of the way and let me pour some water out here. You know how we can sing "It Is Well With My Soul"? Because we've been sitting at the feet of the Savior. And it's at the cross, the magnitude. The weight of glory that you experience in the presence of God, everything else pales in comparison. Long before you could verbalize what it was you needed this morning, Jesus felt it. You got to know that, church. He is a compassionate God who feels what you feel. Long before you knew it. I believe this morning in some people's hearts that by the Spirit of God, he's going to make the insufficient abundant this morning. The God that I know is a God full of power. He is mighty in all his works. Scripture describes him as the Alpha and the Omega. Why is that important? Because he knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. If we could just pause and ponder and wonder at the mystery of who God is. God is a God who makes the insufficient abundant. We stand this morning.